Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
I don't have to give a pep talk to this sworn enemy. Justin Termini joins us, SiriusXM NBA Radio, the NBA Today. You can hear him in the afternoons if you so choose, at Termini Radio on Twitter. Justin, good morning to you. And first off, do the Cavaliers have your attention and your respect as a national NBA pundit?
Well, the Cavaliers had my attention and respect even heading into the season because I was a guy that had them second in the conference heading in. So I thought they would be the two seed ahead of teams like Philadelphia that's being hyped, the Knicks who are Milwaukee that was being hyped. The only team that I had them behind was the Boston Celtics, and right now they're ahead of them. But I don't think anybody had them ahead of the Celtics at this point. So I think I was relatively high on the Cavaliers compared to most of the country.
So I love hearing that. I love hearing that. When you hear about Darius Garland, though, what's your thoughts that come to your mind?
I think he's a borderline all-star, right? I mean, it's only Donovan Mitchell who's on his own team and Jalen Brunson, I think, in the Eastern Conference that are ahead of him. And after that, you can argue he's right there as that third guy because you have to get multiple all-stars if you're Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. So now the only question is it going to be Darius Garland? Is it going to be Evan Mobley? Or is it going to be Jared Allen, right? So those three, because Mitchell's definitely going. And, there was talk about breaking up that team, right? And maybe Garland wanting out, and whether that was coming from his camp, whether it was coming just from the media, I think there was some fire to it because there was some smoke with his agency wanting him out. And it's a good thing that they didn't break up because I think he fits into the backcourt rather well with Donovan Mitchell.
What would the Cavs' record have to be for most to actually pick them to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals?
I don't know. I don't know what it would have to be because you remember.
Does it exist? Is there a record that exists?
Well, I think there's a record where there's pressure on them where if they lose, it's a failure, right?
No, that's different. That's different, Justin. Yeah, saying is there anything that the Cavs can do in the regular season for people to realistically choose them over a healthy Boston Celtics team?
Well, so that's what I was going to say is remember last year, Boston won 64 games and people were still going, oh, well, Miami always gives them trouble. Maybe Miami can upset them again. They get to the finals and I think, like you look at ESPN, I think a majority of their people, including intelligent ones, not just the people that are like throwing crap against the wall, but guys like Tim Legler were picking Dallas to win. So I don't know if that number exists. No, I think Boston would probably still be favored, which is a good thing. I mean, I think that's a good thing for a team like Cleveland is to not have that pressure on them from the public. Like Boston will deal with that.
Justin Termini with us right now on the hotline. It seems like every coach the Cavs go up against, whether it's Steve Kerr, whether it's with the Lakers, help me out, Redick, whether it's any of these coaches, they all say the same thing after the game. Impossible to guard. Play the game the right way. You have to play almost perfect to beat them. Why can't that be the way it is in the postseason? Why does it seem like this is confined just to analysis about the Cavs in a regular season?
No, I mean, I think maybe because of what we saw 2 years ago, right, where it was, you know, them saying they were through the moment was too big for them. Last year, obviously, there were some injuries, and I think that's one of the reasons that they were easily handled by the Celtics. But I think that's probably what it just comes down to is like, hey, show us in the postseason. Again, it's just like Boston last year. They had to deal with, hey, show us in the postseason that this same style works. And I think we do know from watching NBA basketball, you know, just historically, like there's a difference in the way that the game is played in the regular season compared to the postseason. You know, for example, they're, I think, the top 3-point shooting team in the league. Is that going to fall in the postseason? Just like we had that question with the Celtics, when your legs get a little bit more tired, you're relying on the 3-point shot. Now, I think they're a little different than Boston because I think they also have guys that can score in the paint and score in different ways, whereas Boston now just seems to be hucking up a million threes.
You wanted to ask a question. I'm sorry. Justin Termini joining us on the show. The growth of Evan Mobley. Can you tell me, is he, like you mentioned, all-star? Is it an either-or with him and Darius Garland, or is he a bona fide all-star?
I think they could probably both end up making it. I picked him to be the most improved player at the beginning of the year, and I think he can be in that conversation. I mean, but I don't know, even necessarily know if it's just that he has improved as much as that they're allowing him to play that way, right? Because one of my few knocks on J.B. Bickerstaff, who's doing a good job and fortunate for him, because he'd probably be taking a lot of crap if this team was playing like this and he didn't have a job right now, but he's, you know, covered for himself nicely because Detroit's playing so well. Mm-hmm. But one of my minor criticisms of him, I guess, the last couple of years is just not involving him in the offense as much. And I think that Kenny Atkinson is doing a lot better job of that this year. And, you know, I would pick Mobley over Darius Garland as my other all-star just because of what he does to the defense, right? You guys are one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, and he's obviously your best defender. So, you know, I would, if I had to pick between the two and you could only get two all-stars, it would be Mitchell and Mobley.
Well, what has Kenny done to play more into the strengths of Evan Mobley? Because I go back a couple of years ago and it was like, hey, we're going to make Evan force up shots whether he wants to. I mean, Jason Lloyd and I got into knockdown, drag out, cuss out matches over three balls by Evan Mobley and taking threes, and it was a big thing about JB making sure that Evan finds his confidence on the offensive end, but I've never seen him play this confidently, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's taking more threes, right? I believe that's up significantly. He's probably like doubling it this year. And then the other thing is, I think it's not what they've done to Evan Mobley. I think it's what they've done to Donovan Mitchell. And I'd be interesting to know what, like, the conversation was between Kenny Atkinson and Mitchell that got him to play this way. Because my criticism, as you knew, when I was doing that whole, like, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell thing back in Utah, which I still stand by, is Donovan Mitchell tried to do everything by himself. And I felt like he tried to do that, out in Cleveland the first couple of years. I think he's involving his teammates more and has more trust in them. So, you know, good for him. Good for Kenny Atkinson for forcing him to play that way, or convincing him, I guess, to play that way. But I think it's just a case of Donovan Mitchell allowing his teammates to do more this year.
So as you would sit right now, Cavaliers NBA Finals against maybe Oklahoma City. Is this an NBA Finals preview? Is it crazy to say such a thing then?
Oh, it's definitely not crazy. They're off, two historic starts. I mean, would I still favor Boston maybe fully healthy in a playoff series against Cleveland? I'd have to think about that a little bit more and see the way the rest of the season goes. Because I will say this, like, we were talking about this on the show yesterday, and it's not to take anything away from Cleveland, because we've had a million fully healthy teams, right, that have never done what the Cavs are doing right now. But Donovan Mitchell, I think, has missed one. The top four guys have missed a combined four games, right? That rarely happens, and that's certainly not going on with Oklahoma City right now, who's had Chet Holmgren out for a significant amount of time, and it's certainly not going on with Boston, who's missing Porzingis for a majority of the season. Jaylen Brown has missed a couple of games here or there. Derek White missed last night. So they've been far more banged up. Now, again, that doesn't mean that Cleveland can't continue to carry this over into the postseason, but, I wouldn't necessarily, like, I put them over ahead of the net.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Knicks, last time I checked in Vegas a couple of days ago, the Knicks had better odds than the Cavs to come out of the Eastern Conference. My co-host Eddie Johnson thinks the Knicks are more dangerous to the Celtics than Cleveland. I disagree with that. I think the Cavs are far more dangerous. Yeah, Eddie thinks that. Yeah.
How old is he now?
He's 65. His body is 65. His mind's about 7.
Yeah, you gotta find a new host then.
I've been saying that for 10 years, and I started working with him 10 years.
Well, I've just recently now agreed with you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Justin, we have been flexed. The Cavs have been flexed into the national spotlight tonight and next week on TNT. So a little late to the party, but better late than never. With all of that said, there's been so much talk about the push of the Lakers and the Warriors. Neither team has a chance to win the championship this year. Teams like Oklahoma City, teams like Cleveland, we already know about Boston. Do you think you are going to see a push for teams like this? By the way, Cavs, American superstars, American players, American all-stars. I know Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is technically Canadian, but we'll say North America.
North America.
North America. And yeah. Who knows? By the end of this administration, might be part of America, so we can claim them as our own. Boy, we're going to have an even better team. Gulf of Mexico is changing. Panama Canal. Yeah. Here we go, Justin. Here we go. Yeah. Let's go.
You know, Canada pulling a LeBron where, you know, they can't handle their own business, so they got to join the United States to win. He does the same thing his entire career.
So what I'm getting at is this a push that is going to work? Do you see this resonating with more and more people? Can this grow the sport? Or is Darius Garland right when he says, I guess we're small market. I guess people aren't really going to pay attention.
Well, the NBA's got to help out on it, right? Because you look at Christmas Day, Cleveland didn't play. And again, Cleveland's a little bit more surprising. Not surprising to me. Again, I had him as the second seed heading into the year. But Oklahoma City wasn't surprising. Oklahoma City didn't play on Christmas Day. So you got to do a better job, I think, of marketing them for sure, because they're going to be around for the next decade. And just look at this past weekend. I mean, you had Wembanyama going up against Jokic, and they did it on back-to-back nights. Those might have been the two best individual matchups the entire season. I don't know if you caught them. Awesome games, right? The best player in the sport right now, and Jokic going up against the next all-time great. They didn't have they played the same position. Neither won on national television. They should have had the foresight for that. Then you got the Thunder that went through a stretch of playing the Knicks, the Celtics, and the Cavaliers, three of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. Not one of them was on national television at the beginning of the year. They did flex the Cavs Thunder game, thank God. They didn't do a good job with that over the last couple of days. I will give them credit. I don't know if you guys think this. I think they're hyping this game up a ton. ESPN, the NBA, like Twitter feed, they're throwing a bunch of stuff out there. So I think they are doing a good job at hyping Thunder and Cavs, and hopefully it lives up to the billing. And hopefully the ratings tonight are good so they can be proven that, hey, we can have two teams from small markets that play really good basketball that people will tune into. But I guess that'll be answered in the next couple of days once the ratings for tonight come out.
Well, Justin, they have to. I mean, people have been dumping on the league all year, and it's a weird thing for Cavs fans because it's like, hey, man, we love what's going on. We're shooting the lights out. We're 31-4, and everybody's like, the league's not that great, and I ain't watching like I was. And I'm like, well, I guess it sucks to be you. Do you think that there's a problem with the league right now, and do you think they need to make changes?
I don't think there's a problem. I certainly don't think it's with the media. We got J.J. Redick. The media doesn't cover us the right way. Well, for example, the other day I wanted to start off with there was a great game. It was a Celtic game they had played the night before against the Timberwolves, and it was Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum going back and forth. It was a close game. I think it ended up being a 3-point game, 118-115. I wanted to start the show off the next day and talk about that great game. I wanted to be positive, right? What did I have to do? I had to talk about that spoiled brat down in Miami who's making $50 million but hasn't had any joy and can't be bothered to play and is demanding trades. And is that the media's fault that I had to start off with that, or is that Jimmy Butler, a spoiled player's fault? But J.J. Redick won't blame the players, and the players do hold some accountability for why the sport maybe ratings are down. But J.J. Redick's pointing at the media. I wanted to be the positive that day. I couldn't because Jimmy Butler's a spoiled brat. There are issues. that have to be filtered through. But hopefully the Jimmy Butler situation over the next couple of days, because it's going to continue to be a story, don't overshadow a great game tonight.
Justin Termini. Whoa, coming in hot.
J.J. Redick should be happy that the media only covers, like, the big markets and stupid stories and drama, because if they didn't, they would never talk about his team.
I do want to ask you a question about Oklahoma City. You mentioned that Chet is not there, but it hasn't stopped them, obviously, from amassing this incredible record. Is this box score accurate? They only gave up 27 points to the world champion Boston Celtics, the healthy Boston Celtics in the second half, the last time Oklahoma City played. What is it about their defense that is so suffocating?
Well, I mean, they're the best three-point shooting defense in the NBA, and Boston basically only shoots threes, so that's a part of it, although Boston did attack the rim in the first half and take advantage of their size. I mean, they got all NBA defenders all over the place, and the scary thing about that is they didn't even have Alex Caruso or Chet Holmgren out there in that game, and Chet was their representative for, like, the best odds to win Defensive Player of the Year from that team. And Alex Caruso, we know, is a guy that's capable of making all defensive teams. So, yeah, their defense, I mean, that defensive performance in the second half against Boston is the best defensive performance I think I've seen in, you know, a decade.
Justin Termini, NBA Today, Sirius XM. Find him on Twitter at Termini Radio. Hey, I know your Instagram got hacked. Your dog good?
Yeah, my dog is well.
Wait, what did you do? Hold on, forget the dog. What did you do to get hacked? Everybody always acts all innocent when they get their Instagram hacked. And what is it really?
I know what you were looking at.
I mean, I was probably looking at dirty pictures. I don't know. Some promiscuous women on Instagram. I don't know.
Do you have to pay to get it back?
The Instagram? No, I lost all my followers. I don't even know if you guys are following me anymore.
I follow you.
I haven't seen, you do. Yeah,
I follow your new one.
You do, my new one.
Which, and you didn't post anything of your dog.
No, but
so
you didn't.
Worried.
There wasn't a ransom note or anything like that from the hacker, because that does happen.
No, and they hacked all sorts of things. So they hacked, like, my Facebook, which I didn't use, but then I got rid of that. And then they hacked my LinkedIn, which I also didn't use because I've been at the same miserable job for, like, two decades, 20 years. So I just got rid of those, but I had to switch my Instagram. So it wasn't fun. But, yeah, I mean, they had, like, some people, apparently listeners, got, like, ripped off because the person was asking for money and people thought I was the one asking for money. I don't know how stupid people are that they're, you know, giving me money. But anyway, that's, you know, there's some bad people out there.
Yeah. And surprisingly, you're not one of the worst, but you're still pretty bad. Justin, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. Go Cavs. I'm rooting for you guys against the Thunder this evening.
Okay, now you're not such a bad guy. Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio. Find him on Twitter at Termini Radio. Find him on Instagram if you can find him.